مبلغ فيوسف May you keep ascending success share Mubalik for you it's my prayer May you keep ascending success share
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said that a person who sends 100 times durood or salutations or salawat upon me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes between his eyes that this person is free from hypocrisy and the fire of hell. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala includes him amongst the martyrs. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habiballah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah azza wa jal, once again we are blessed with the opportunity to participate in this beautiful silsila, Blessings of Hadith of Madani channel. As usual, we will discuss few of the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a very important topic, and that is waswasa. Now, before we discuss few ahadith regarding waswasa, let's understand what waswasa means. The literal meaning of the word waswasa is soft voice. But in the terminology of Sharia, the evil thoughts are called waswasa. And in English, we can translate the word waswasa, whispering of shaitan. So, when the thoughts are evil, they are called waswasa. And the good thoughts are called ilham. Waswasa comes from shaitan, and ilham comes from Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Keep in mind that ilham of a non-Nabi, a person who's not a Nabi, is not a shar'i proof, because there is possibility that a normal person who's thinking that this could be a ilham, and as a matter of fact, it is whispering of shaitan, that possibility is there. So this is the brief understanding of the word waswasa, which I have presented, and it would be helpful in understanding the ahadith mubarakah which we are going to discuss. An Abi Hurairah qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إن الله تجاوز عن أمتي ما وسوست به صدورها ما لم تعمل به أو تتكلم. متفق عليه. This hadith mubarakah is متفق عليه, which means that this hadith is reported by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim in Sahih al-Bukhari and in Sahih al-Muslim. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that undoubtedly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven the thoughts of my ummah, the thoughts that are developed in the heart or in the mind, in heart, are forgiven. Until or unless those thoughts come into practice or uttered, mean person says it with his tongue. This was the literal translation of Hadith-e-Mubarakah. From this hadith we understand that there is no accountability on evil thoughts. And this is indeed the exclusivity and the speciality of this ummah. In the previous ummahs, the evil thoughts were also accountable. Keep in mind that evil thoughts is something else, and evil intention is something else. Although there is no accountability on evil thoughts, but there is accountability on evil intention. Let's take an example that a person makes intention of kufr. That is indeed kufr. If a person says, I will become kafir, na'uzubillah, he became kafir immediately. Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he writes that bad thoughts which come in the mind, in the heart, all of a sudden they come, they go, they don't stay there for long, are called hajis. Now these thoughts which are called hajis, they were forgiven to the previous ummahs and they are forgiven to this ummah as well. Then there is a thought which comes and stays in the heart that was not forgiven to the previous ummahs, but those thoughts are forgiven to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if with those thoughts person finds pleasure, that is called hammun. And those thoughts also don't have any accountability on this ummah. If, for example, person is thinking something and he is enjoying, although it might be an evil that what he's thinking, but there is no sin upon him. But if with that he has an intention or he made a resolution in his heart that he is going to do this, that is a sin. Because intention of a sin is sin. Although there would be no penalty, there would be no capital punishment on this type of sin. So if a person makes an intention of committing adultery, that would not be regarded an adultery, but it is sin. So this is important to understand the difference when your thoughts become sin and when they are not sin. Then at the last part of hadith, it is said that till person practice according to the thoughts, or he says according to the thoughts. This tells us that in the verbal sins, your words are considered. So your words would be counted and evaluated. And in practical sins, your actions are counted and assessed. So therefore, Fuqaha ikram, the jurist will see your words and they will see your actions, and according to that they will explain the law of Sharia or enforce the law of Sharia. وَعَنْهُ قَالَ جَاءَ نَاسٌ مِّنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَاسْأَلُوهُ إِنَّا نَجِدُ فِي أَنفُسِنَا مَا يَتَعَازَمُ أَحَدُنَا أَن يَتَكَلَّمَ بِهِ قَالَ أَوَقَدْ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ قَالُوا نَعَمْ قَالَ ذَلِكَ صَرِيحُ الْإِسْلَامِ رواه المسلم. This hadith mubarakah is reported by Hazrat Imam Muslim in his Sahih al-Muslim. This hadith is also narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that some of the companions of beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into the holy court of beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they started asking questions. And what did they ask? That, Ya Rasulullah, we find certain thoughts in our hearts that we cannot even speak about those thoughts, or we regard speaking out of those thoughts as a big sin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, Oh my Sahaba, do you really find that? They said, Na'am, yes, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Dhalika sarihul iman, that is clear iman, clear faith. In this hadith mubarakah, we learn few beautiful madni flowers. Number one is that the iman of Sahaba-e-Kiram was excellent, let alone practicing upon a whispering of shaitan. They would even regard that whispering a very big sin, and they would not even like to bring that whispering of shaitan on their tongue. So that is a clear sign that the level of their iman was very high. And then also we understand something else, that Sahaba-e-Kiram, as being the great people, they were blessed with the company of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, very holy, very pious people. They were also not protected from the whispering of shaitan. So we, the weak people, are much easier prey of shaitan when it comes to the whispering. So therefore, never get worried about these issues. As long as you don't like the whisperings, as long as you want to get rid of those whisperings of shaitan, that is fine, because shaitan doesn't leave anyone, whether you are sahabi or non-sahabi, or you pious or you not pious, you old or you young, or man or woman, whoever you are, he is after you because he's your enemy. And also we learn from this hadith mubarakah that coming of waswasas, or the whispering of shaitan, is a sign of iman. How is that possible, that whispering of shaitan is regarded as sign of iman? Now understand it with an example, that a thief will come in that house where there is wealth. If there is no wealth, thief will not come in that house to steal anything, because he would know that his effort would be wasted. So Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, a believer has the wealth of iman. Therefore, shaitan is always chasing a believer because he wants to steal that wealth away from him. Hazrat Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza, Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said something very beautiful, that a namaz or an ibadat which is free of waswasa, which is free of whispering of shaitan, that is the namaz of Jews or Christians, or that is the ibadat or the worship of Jews or Christians. What does this mean? It means that a worship of a believer must have whispering of shaitan. Your shaitan would never leave you because he's not your friend. He doesn't like you. He knows that ibadat which are based on the faith, on the correct creeds, on the correct beliefs, on the correct deen, those ibadat are accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. But if a Jew or a Christian is doing the ibadat, he has taken the faith away from him. So there is no need to really put whispering in the heart of such people at that time when they are engaged in the worship. Because he knows it very well that no ibadat can be counted, no ibadat can be accepted without the faith. And they don't have the faith, therefore let them carry on, let them continue, let them enjoy the worship that they are doing. But he comes and he troubles the believers because he knows that his ibadat would be counted and his ibadat would be accepted. And we also learn from this hadith mubarakah that to criticize the waswasas or the whisperings of shaitan, or not liking whisperings of shaitan, is a sign of iman. As Sahaba Ikram did not like the evil thoughts, which of course is the whispering of shaitan, and that was regarded as clear faith, clear iman. So dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, if you have this problem at any time when you are in the worship of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, you are performing salat, you are fasting, you are on the hajj, you reciting Durood-e-Pak or any other wazifa, and shaitan comes and troubles you and he starts his whispering, as long as you dislike them, so that is sign of iman. وعنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأتي الشيطان أحدكم فيقول من خلق كذا من خلق كذا حتى يقول من خلق ربك فإذا بلغه فليستعذ بالله ولينته متفق عليه. This hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari and in Sahih al-Muslim. And it is reported from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that shaitan comes to one of you and he says to him, who created this? Who created that? Till he says, who created your Lord? When he reaches that level, you should recite A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem and stay away from him. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, this is a very practical problem that we face these days. And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the news long ago. So shaitan comes and he starts questioning. Who's that shaitan? That could be Iblis, because he sees the whole world and he moves around everywhere in the world. Or this could be Qareen. Qareen is a devil, a shaitan, which is with every human being, and he stays with him all the time. Or this could be a human being who is a bad friend and who gives the wrong advice and who misleads. So all these possibilities are there. And he will start asking questions, who created this, who created that. Person might keep on saying, Allah created this, Allah created that. And then he will end up saying, who created Allah? Who created your Lord? So this question is not supposed to be asked on the first place. How can someone ask this question? Because the one who can be created is that who is in non-existence, and then it can be brought into existence. So if anyone believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be created, then that means one has to believe that there is time in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is non-existent, and the one who is non-existent in any time, that one can never be Allah. So therefore, when someone asks you this question, don't entertain that question, don't answer. What you have to say? You have to say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim. Or you have to recite, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Because the person who is asking that question has to be shaitan, and shaitan will run away. And from here we learn another very important principle, that every question doesn't have to be answered. Sometimes people feel that, you know, we should answer every question. No, there are limitations. Some questions you can answer, and some questions you cannot, or you should not, or you should not even entertain some of the questions. When Shaitan refused to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, he gave dalail, he gave proofs, he put up arguments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not answer any of the arguments of Shaitan. Rather, he ordered him, فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا O Shaitan, O rejected one, get out of the Jannat. So this principle needs to be kept in mind. You will save yourself from lots of problems. And also, we learn that reading A'udhu Billah is a very good recipe to chase Shaitan away. So if Shaitan is troubling you, you should recite A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, as it is mentioned in this hadith Mubarakah, and it works. وَعَنْهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا يَزَالُ النَّاسُ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ حَتَّى يُقَالَ هَذَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْخَلْقَ فَمَنْ خَلَقَ اللَّهَ فَمَنْ وَجَدَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا فَلْيَقُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. This hadith is مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ, means, as we have mentioned over and over, that it is in Bukhari and in Muslim. And the reporter is Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, people will keep on asking each other till they will question who created the creation, and then they will question who created Allah. So if you find that, mean that situation, or if you are in that gathering with that question is being asked, what you should say? Amantu billahi wa rasulihi. I believe in Allah and in all his messengers. Like today, you have many atheists, but we say them in Urdu, Dehriya, atheists. They ask these type of questions. And alhamdulillah, we sacrifice our lives on the unseen knowledge of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which has been bestowed upon him by Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. That what was going to happen long after his apparent life, he gave us the news of all those happenings. Now, in this Hadith Mubarakah, it is suggested to us that don't get into the debate, don't get into the argument, don't start an intellectual fight with such people who are questioning these type of things. You should accept Allah and His Rasul. You should accept Quran and the books and the Qiyamah and Jannat and Jahannam, all that, without any proofs and without any arguments. That's why it is said in Quran Kareem, the muttaqeen, the people who fear Allah, are being praised with these words, yu'minuna bil ghaib, they believe in unseen. Why are they being praised if they believe in unseen? Because the one, what is unseen? Unseen is that which is beyond senses. Unseen is that which doesn't make sense and person still believes. That means he does not trust his sense as much as he trusts Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal and his beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As long as it is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's coming from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Amanna wa saddaqna, I believe in that and I endorse that. If my intellect or anybody else's intellect is going against what Allah and His Rasul is saying, then I will accept what Allah and His Rasul says, not what my intellect says or what somebody else's intellect says. Therefore, based on this Hadith Mubarakah, many of the scholars, they did not like to study Ilmul Kalam. Ilmul Kalam is a particular science which deals with the aqaid or with the beliefs. And in that knowledge, person argues about aqeedah and talks about the daleel and the proof of the aqeedah, etc. So many of the ulama-i-kiram did not like that. Because they say, when you discuss the Dalil, then that means you are believing in that belief because of the Dalil or because of the proof. Whereas you should have been trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than your intellect. But some of the ulama, according to the situation of the time, they learnt this knowledge and taught this knowledge in order to remove the doubts. So therefore, both the ulama are appreciated for their good intentions. But when a person comes and asks this type of question, then the questioned one has not committed a kufr. That's not his fault, because somebody else is coming and asking this question. But the questioner is in trouble. If he is questioning because he has a doubt, for example, if he comes and he says, who created Allah? And he's doubtful that Allah can be created or he cannot be created, then he's a kafir. He's out of the fold of Islam. But if the question was asked just to get the answer, with the intention that let me get an answer, if someone asks me one day, I would be able to answer or I would be able to explain. No, the intention is not based on the doubt. Intention is based on increasing knowledge. So that is fine. That's not kufr. But if the intention is that person is doubtful, then it's kufr. وعن ابن مسعود قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ما منكم من أحد إلا وقد وكل به قرينه من الجن وقرينه من الملائكة قالوا وإياك يا رسول الله قال وإياي ولكن الله أعانني عليه فأسلم فلا يأمرني إلا بخير رواه مسلم. This hadith mubarakah is reported in Sahih al-Muslim. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala reports that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, there is no one of you with whom a companion from jinns and a companion from angels is not appointed. People asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with you as well? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, yes, with me as well. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped me that the jinn which was appointed with me, that jinn converted into Islam. And now he only gives me good advice. Now, dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, in this hadith mubarakah, we learn something very interesting and very important. That every sane and mature human being, he has a shaitan with him, he has a devil with him, who puts waswasa, whispering bad thoughts in his mind, and he has an angel with him who inspires him and he puts good thoughts in his mind, and they are together with him all the time. It is mentioned in Mirqat of Mullah Ali Qari and Ashatul Lam'at of Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh. When a child is born, a shaitan is born with him, which is called in Persian Hamzad, and it is called in Arabic Waswas. And it's also very interesting to learn and understand that shaitan gives birth to hundreds of babies within second. Therefore, the number of shayateen are too many in comparison to the number of human beings. Like the fish, they give eggs in thousands. Snakes, they give eggs in thousands. Like there are viruses which have millions and millions of germs. So likewise, the babies of shaitan, the children of shaitan, are like a virus. There are too many, we cannot count them. Actually, the number of shayateen or jinns is 9 times more than the number of human beings. So one angel is appointed who is mulhim, mean he inspires, he gives the good thoughts. And the one jinn is appointed, or shaitan is appointed, he puts the bad thoughts in the mind of the person. And then in this hadith mubarakah, something very interesting is discussed. And that is, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, my shaitan became Muslim. That shaitan that was born with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that became Muslim. So this is the highest level of speciality and exclusivity of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even though we know that kufr is in the nature of shaitan, and that shaitan became Muslim, so does that not tell you that the blessed side of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam can also change natures? as this shaitan became Muslim. And that's the only shaitan in the human history which is created with a human being who became Muslim. And that was the shaitan which was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is mentioned in Mirqat Sharif that Hama ibn Iblis, Hama, the son of Iblis, he came in the holy court of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, when Qabil killed Habil, the two sons of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, one was Qabil and one was Habil, and Qabil killed Habil. He said, when he killed Habil, I was there. And I have met all the prophets alayhim salam." And that also tells you that jinns or shayateen, they live very long. Because he was there at the time of killing of Habil, and then he came to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, "Ya Rasulullah, teach me some Quran." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the son of Iblis, who's Hama, Surah Waqi'a, Surah Mursalat, Surah Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas, etc. Few surahs Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him. And it is also mentioned in Surah Al-Jinn that there were many jinns who became Muslims and they learned Quran from our beloved master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then at the end I would like to read a small ahadith, not very long one. Wa an Anas qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam inna ash-shaytana yajri min al-insani majra ad-dami. Hazrat Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu reports that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that shaitan runs in the vessels, in the blood vessels of human being. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani Channel, how difficult it is to safeguard yourself from shaitan. He is running in our bodies like blood. Or all the places where the blood reaches, shaitan reaches. Shaitan is not dense. It's made of fire, so it's fine. So because of that fineness, shaitan can penetrate into our body, into our veins, into our vessels. So only person who can be saved from shaitan, who is blessed with the fadl, with the blessing of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore we must always be fearful and never think that I know too much, and never think and never believe that I'm very holy and I'm very pious and I can fight shaitan and I can protect myself. No, no, no. Don't ever think that way. Always regard yourself as weak and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you and protect you from the whispering of shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the right path, on the path of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba Ikram, Awliya Allah, the pious elders, Ulama of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the waswasas and the whispering of shaitan. Ameen bi jahin nabiyil ameen sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Salatun wa salamun alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habiballah.
O muballigh, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success share. O muballigh, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success share.